On May 22, 2019, the MIAC announced that St. Thomas had been involuntarily removed from the league, following weeks of speculation. The statement cited athletic parity as the primary concern of the president's council. Under MIAC bylaws, unethical or illegal conduct was the only reason a school could be removed from the conference. But the Tommy's MIAC foes were prepared to change the bylaws to include an enrollment cap that would effectively exclude St. Thomas. Reportedly, some MIAC schools even threatened to leave the league as football members if St. Thomas remained. St. Thomas was essentially given an ultimatum. Either leave the conference, or there won't be a conference for you to play in. My name is Stephen Gorgi, and I'll be your host. This is the third and final installment of Johnny's and Tommy's, All Falls Down. When the news broke, emotions were running high within the St. Thomas community. Here's Mike Ruggieri, who was an offensive lineman on the St. Thomas football team at the time.
No one on campus actually thought, like, hey, they're going to kick out St. Thomas out of the MIAC, one of the founding members, like, because of what? Like, they have, like, no real reason to kick us out other than we're too good.
Here's Noel Ortiz, another member of the team in 2019.
I was dumbfounded. I think we all were, like, really in shock. Like, is this actually happening, you know, like, while we're here? Coach had a pretty formal meeting. He brought us all in. It was, like, the same old culture thing with Coach. It's, like, so complex but so simple. He's like, all right, guys, listen, all this stuff is happening. I really don't want you to worry about any of it. He always says control what you can control. So he was like, no, I mean, that stuff all pertains to us, but we're going to control what we're going to control. We're going to do our lifts right now, prep for the summer. He's like, we still have some Division III football left to play. And so he's like, we're going to focus on what we're going to focus. Just focus on the task at hand, you know, which is pretty good advice, I think, because like a lot of guys are thinking like, oh, what's going to happen?
So how did this happen? Neither a large undergraduate enrollment nor athletic success were new for St. Thomas. However, the extent to which St. Thomas was dominating the competition was. The school won both the MIAC's men's and women's all-sport trophy every year between 2008 and 2019. A Minneapolis Star Tribune story also indicated that St. Thomas's 97-0 football win over St. Olaf in 2017 was a tipping point for many. But if simple football dominance was the problem, shouldn't St. John's have been a target too? In 2017, they won a conference football game 72-6 and beat St. Scholastica, a school that would go on to join the MIAC in 2021, 98-0. But there were some key differences in how each school won those blowout games. Here's Pat Borzi, who wrote about the breakup for MinPost.
Bottom line is they did a bunch of things to try to make the score look less heinous than it ended up being. St. Thomas had several chances to pull back and not make the score as one-sided as it was and did not do a lot of the things that St. John's did.
In the St. Olaf game, St. Thomas went for it on fourth down 5 times, including once up 64-0 in the third quarter and again up 91-0 in the fourth. Against St. Scholastica, St. John's coach Gary Fosching pulled starting quarterback Jackson Erdman in the second quarter, and he gathered with the officials and St. Scholastica coach Kurt Rambler to discuss the possibility of shortening the game. And athletic dominance wasn't the only factor at play, according to Borzi.
It wasn't just one football game. It wasn't just one season. There was a lot that went into this, but that St. Thomas-St. Olaf game kind of brought a lot of it to a head. And there were people in the MIAC that said, you know, we've had enough. And that kind of got the ball rolling. There has been some lingering animosity over a matter of decades among the other MIAC schools with St. Thomas, because St. Thomas is a school, a very ambitious school. They've expanded a lot. They've expanded their graduate programs. They restarted their law school, which annoyed a bunch of people.
St. Thomas reopened its law school in 1999, creating a fourth law option in the Twin Cities. In 2015, Hamline University, a MIAC school, merged its law program with William Mitchell College of Law, as both faced shrinking enrollment numbers. St. Thomas also beat Hamline in football 84-0 in 2017 and 62-0 in 2018. The Minneapolis Star Tribune reported that Hamline was one of the schools threatening to leave the conference if St. Thomas remained a member. Here's Borzi again.
Basically, there's a lot of competition for students now. The economic downturn in 2008-2009, suddenly the birth rate went down. That's a group that's you know, getting about it very soon is going to be 18 years old. They've gone very aggressively after that market. And other MIAC schools haven't had the wherewithal or the vision to do that.
But there was at least one MIAC school that stood with St. Thomas, seemingly the most unlikely of schools. Its arch rival, St. John's. Here's Borzy again.
They were not very secretive about that. They were one of the few schools that wanted St. Thomas to stay. They've never backed down from competition. They don't mind that St. Thomas is doing all this. In fact, they applaud it. St. John's never backed down from a fight. Johnnies don't do that. They wanted their big rival to stay. I mean, yeah, on the field, you're banging heads and all this, but there was a mutual respect among the both schools, not just for the Catholic roots, but also for the competitiveness and the fact that they wanted to be the best that they could. And that mutual respect went a long way. And I think if you talk to most Johnnies, they will tell you that they were not happy that St. Thomas is no longer in the MIAC.
Some Johnnies were just as upset as the Tommies. Brendan Klein was a senior at St. John's when the news broke. As the rumors mounted, he decided to take action by creating a change.org petition titled, Keep St. Thomas in the MIAC. To Klein's surprise, the petition received thousands of signatures. Here's Klein with more.
I didn't necessarily think that it's going to change a whole lot, but I felt like, you know, okay, I'm an individual. I can only control what I control. And so by creating a petition that folks can have their signatures to, maybe that can at least give a voice to folks who want the presence of our schools to know, like, hey, this is how we feel about this. For St. John's, St. Ben's, that rivalry meant a lot to our school. And so to lose that felt like we were being punished for another school, failure to maybe invest in their program or just their insecurities about their program. And I say insecurity because there's a lot across all of our MIAC schools that they have reason to be proud of beyond athletics. We all are liberal arts schools, we're private schools. We have a common, at least, philosophy about how people should be educated in college. And that's why St. Thomas should stay, because they haven't really deviated from that mission, just because they have more students, just because maybe they have some newer, nicer athletic facilities, doesn't mean that other schools can't do the same, or that they should do the same. It's just that's what St. Thomas chose to do.
Here's Ortiz on the support from St. John's.
I ran into some of those St. John guys too, like while that was going on, and they were like, "We want you back, bro." They all wanted us back in the conference. We were good competition for them. Every time I ran into a St. John's dude outside of football, there was never like grimaces or like, "Oh, you're St. John's." So I was like, "What's up, dude? Like, I'll see you on the field," kind of ordeal. It's almost like those guys are part of the brotherhood too, you know, because you're playing this game together.
Here's Josh Parks, a senior running back on the 2019 St. Thomas team, talking about the relationship between the two programs.
It was a gritty game. A lot of trash talk being talked between each team, but I think at the end of the day, you know, that's the team and that's the organization that St. Thomas has so much respect for, right? You know, if you don't have guys on that other side of the ball that are working just as hard as you, you know, it doesn't motivate you as much, and it doesn't create the atmosphere that it did. And I think that's what made that rivalry so much fun, is that you'd go to that game knowing that you'd get the best from each team, and that's what we got year after year. You know, so much respect for St. John's, great rivalry, you know, wish they continued to go on, but as of now, it's kind of in the history books.
But regardless of what anybody at St. John's or St. Thomas wanted, the decision had been made. Now the only question was, where would St. Thomas play next? Would they find another Division III conference? Staying at the D3 level would have made it easy for the rivalry to continue as a non-conference matchup each year. However, there was chatter about the school moving up to Division II, and maybe even transitioning to Division I someday. According to Borzy, then St. Thomas president Julie Sullivan had questioned why St. Thomas didn't have a D1 athletic department when she arrived at the school. Less than 5 months after the announcement from the MIAC, news broke that St. Thomas had been invited to join the Division I Summit League. However, in order to join, they would need a waiver to bypass the NCAA's lengthy transition process that would require them to play at the Division II level first. In July 2020, the Tommies received the clearance they needed and were on their way to becoming the state's second Division I school. The Summit League doesn't sponsor football, so the Tommies found a football home in the Pioneer Football League, a non-scholarship conference at the Division I FCS level. The move meant the Tommies would play in a conference with teams from San Diego, California, to Poughkeepsie, New York, rather than solely the state of Minnesota. It also meant the historic rivalry would effectively be dead once the Tommies made the move. For St. Thomas, the game would present too much risk of embarrassment. A loss to the D3 Johnnies would be the equivalent of when Michigan lost to Appalachian State. For St. John's, a loss to the Tommies could hurt them if they didn't win the MIAC and were vying for one of the at-large spots in the Division III playoffs. Only D3 games are used as part of the selection committee's primary criteria, and non-D3 results are only used if the committee can't come to a decision. The series would come to an end while it was at its peak, but there were still two games left to send it out in style, and the Tommies entered the 2019 season with a chip on their shoulder. Here's Ruggeri again.
We were out for blood for sure. I mean, we were going to like run up the score on everyone. Like, we didn't care. Like, we were just going to play our best. We're going to play our best until the last whistle. I mean, that's all we've done. That's all we're going to do. So might keep the starters in there a little bit longer than we should have. But I mean, who's to blame?
Here's Ortiz again.
You wanted to make a statement, especially getting kicked out of a conference. You know, it was like, all right, you're going to kick us out of a conference. We're just going to show you like what we got. I remember Malcolm Lawson. He was a senior, like right guard, I believe. But he was always saying stuff like, all right, they're going to kick us out. We're going to show them. Like, we're going to show them. And so there's like that kind of like lingering attitude of, all right, you're going to kick us out. We're going to show you what's up.
Despite their attitude coming into the season, the Tommies lost an early non-conference game, but still entered the showdown 4-1 and ranked 11th. The Johnnies returned Erdman for one final year and entered the game undefeated and ranked 4th. The 2019 game was scheduled to be played at another unique Twin Cities venue, Allianz Field, home of Minnesota United FC. Although significantly smaller than Target Field, over 19,500 fans packed it. The stadium's design and the massive crowd created a unique atmosphere. Here's Parks again.
It was a soccer field, right? So it's more compatible for a football game. It felt like the crowd was really like on top of you compared to Target Field, where you had sort of fans kind of all dispersed out because it's a larger, more broad stadium. I was a captain that game, and we walked through the tunnel before everyone else, and you just see everyone, and everyone's so close, and you can kind of hear individual people in a sense, and so that made it really unique and special.
Parks rushed for 147 yards and 2 touchdowns, but he was outdone by Erdman, who threw for 451 yards and 3 touchdowns as he led the Johnnies to a 38-20 win. The two teams would ultimately be crowned co-champions of the league, but by virtue of its win at Allianz Field, St. John's held the tiebreaker and received the league's automatic bid to the playoffs. St. Thomas was not awarded an at-large bid and missed the playoffs for the second consecutive season. Here's Parks again.
I guess if you're going to lose to a team, I guess I can say this now. I wouldn't have said it back when I was in college, but, if you're going to lose to a team, you want to lose to the best. And St. John's definitely was one of those teams that, had a culture of being a winning football team. So, it was difficult, but, at the end of the day, that's part of football. That's part of the rivalry. And I think that's what makes it great.
With just one last game between the two historic rivals remaining, it needed to be a special one. In a surprise move, St. John's announced in February 2020 that the final game would be moved from its campus in Collegeville to U.S. Bank Stadium, home of the Minnesota Vikings. With a football capacity of over 66,000, it would also give the schools a chance to reclaim the D3 attendance record that had been broken by Cortland and Ithaca in November 2019 when they filled MetLife Stadium with just over 45,000 fans. St. John's had been resistant to move their home games to a neutral site previously, even after the success of the Target Field game. Here's Borzy with more.
St. John's was like, we are not giving up our home. Our place is special, and it is. Clemens Stadium is one of the coolest places to ever see a college football game. And it is so loud, and the atmosphere is so cool. There are all these trees that surround the place. I mean, it's just a real pastoral scene. And it gets loud as all get out when the Johnnies are moving the ball. It's just a great place to watch a game. And I had people at St. John's, athletic department people, saying there's no way in God's country that we are moving our home game anywhere. We're going to play it all here.
When it became clear how much demand there was for the final game, St. John's relented. The stage was set for one last matchup. But like everything else planned for 2020, the battle for the Holy Grail was turned upside down by COVID-19. In July 2020, the conference announced that fall football season would be postponed, and the November game at U.S. Bank Stadium was never played. The MIAC gave schools permission to play up to 4 football games in the spring of 2021, and as of March 2021, there was still hope the two teams would play one more time, but they never did. St. John's announced they wouldn't play any games that spring, and St. Thomas's one scheduled regular season game against Augsburg was called off due to COVID-19 protocols. For the first time since 1951, the two teams didn't play each other. The rivalry was over. Tommies were left wondering what could have been. Here's Ortiz.
For both of us, it sucks because it would be nice for both programs to be like, be told, okay, guys, this is the last game. You're going into the last Tojo game. I think that would affect the energy, the environment, everything, the whole outcome of the game. That being said, I'm sure that, you know, St. John's is happy that, like, oh, we went out on a win. For them, I'm sure it's, like, not too bad. For us also, it was my senior year. They had just lost so many dudes. They lost our man. They lost that whole O-line. Our whole defense was returning. And so I was pretty confident that we would, like, if not win, it would be a good, great game.
Here's Jackson Erdman on what it feels like to be the winning quarterback in the last game between the two rivals.
You know, it's special, but at the same time, it's sad that it did come to an end. I am thankful that I ended, you know, playing them, because I would have been so pissed if my senior, junior, or like whole college career, I didn't have that game. Those were easily the last two games, especially when we won, were the best games of my entire life. You never say never, you don't know, but for a while, you know, like, who knows if or when there'll be another one. But yeah, to play in the last one, it's pretty cool and just surreal, and especially to end up on top, you know, the last 2 years, the last two games, means a lot.
So what's been lost with the end of this series? Just ask the athletes themselves. Here's Parks.
I think it started to become a identity of Minnesota sports. You know, I remember going to a basketball game, and that was just as rowdy, right? Obviously, you know, not nearly as many people, but the rivalry started sort of taking on a culture of its own. And that was really important to, I think, Minnesota sports, just because you were able to retain athletes in Minnesota that would go to St. Thomas or St. John's because of that game. I think it's difficult for, you know, the athletes that are currently playing at those institutions, and then also for the alumni. You know, it's something that they look forward to while they played and look forward to after their career was over. It is unfortunate, but it kind of gives St. Thomas an opportunity to go out and prove themselves against higher competition overall.
Here's Erdman.
You know, I love for them to still continue the Johnny Tommy rivalry, because in the winter, those were my favorite basketball games to go to. You know, those were the best soccer games. Those were the best baseball games, everything. You know, it was so fun to go as a student. And I was so excited to be an alumni now and to go back, because I've never really seen one at Collegeville that I didn't play in. But yeah, it's just disappointing that it's no longer going to happen, and that selfishly I can't experience it, you know, as an alumni, but like, that other guys can't play in it or like grow up watching that too and hoping and wanting to play in games like that.
But if the rivalry had to come to an end, maybe ending it without one final game really was the most fitting way. Here's sportscaster and St. John's graduate Anthony LaPanta.
But there's just something about the fact that the last game was never played that seems to add to this. And I'm not sure why, but it just feels like that adds to the story. Like, it wouldn't have been right to have a game be the final game. It's almost like it was meant to be, that the rivalry comes to an end without there actually being an ending. And there's something about that that it feels wrong, but at the same time, it feels right. It feels like it wasn't meant to end. There wouldn't have been a right way to end the rivalry. It would have felt wrong to have the teams walk to the middle of the field and shake hands and say, we'll never see you again. So it's almost like it was meant to be, that it wasn't supposed to end.
Although the rivalry has ended, life's gone on for both programs. St. John's won the MIAC in both 2021 and 2022. In 2021, St. John's beat Bethel in a last-second MIAC championship game thriller, giving hope to some that Bethel could eventually replace St. Thomas as the Johnny's rival. The next year, Bethel beat the Johnny's in the regular season before falling to them in a title game rematch. Here's Borzy after the 2021 season on the developing St. John's Bethel rivalry.
Yeah, Bethel has become their rival, but it's not the same. You know, your older brother moves away and you might get his room, but, you know, you kind of miss him. It's hard for me to see Bethel or any other school in the MIAC replacing St. Thomas as a rival because the two schools had so much in common.
Meanwhile, St. Thomas has excelled in its first 2 years of FCS football, going 7-3 in 2021 and winning the Pioneer Football League in 2022 with an undefeated conference record. The Tommies are ineligible to compete in the FCS playoffs until 2025 due to NCAA rules for teams that change levels. But given their fast start, there's excitement in the community over what the Tommies can accomplish moving forward. However, there's no obvious candidate to replace St. John's due to the spread-out nature of the conference. Geographically, Drake is the Tommies' closest conference foe. But Des Moines, Iowa is still about 4 hours south of St. Paul, and Drake won just 3 games during the 2022 season. Here's LaPanta.
I don't think you'll ever see a rivalry that matches it for either school. I really don't. And for St. Thomas, I think that's I don't think there's even anything close. And part of it's just geography where, you know, the part of the beauty of the Johnny Tommy rivalry is it was an only an hour drive between the schools. So the students jump on buses and go from one to the other. And the alumni base that the whole conference has in the Twin Cities makes it so that everybody seems to live close enough to go to those games. And that's just, that isn't going to be the case with whoever it is, Drake or you name the school. It's just not.
Both teams continue to succeed on the field, but as the two programs try to move on, one thing is clear. The rivalry may be gone, but it's certainly not forgotten.